And we want to greet you again this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may His grace and peace be with you all as you seek to follow Him. This morning we want to open the Bible at the verse the last verse the children are on and memorizing here in the Beatitude, chapter 7 and verse 15. I want to begin there and just to examine what the Word of God says. This morning, we're in the world today. We'll look here and there seems to be a lot of, there is a lot of confusion. We want to just look and try to clear some of those things up this morning. I want to start right here. In this verse 15. This again is finishing up Jesus' teachings. There's a lot He's put in here just in the last few verses that cannot be separated from His teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. And after He finished teaching these things that He taught, as He was teaching us how to live, He told us to beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. One verse in Matthew chapter 24, we'll come right back to this one in 27. Matthew chapter 24, and verse 4, and 5, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I've spent a lot of time talking with a lot of people, and there hasn't been very many, but there have been a few people who have actually come up and said, I'm Jesus Christ. I don't remember the last time, but I do know that there's times been on the street that someone came up to me and said, I'm Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus said here, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Well, if someone came up to you this morning and said, stuck out their hand and said, I'm Jesus Christ, do you think you're going to be deceived? No, I don't either. It's pretty plain to see that someone tells us that they're Jesus, that they're a liar. That's not hard to discern, but yet Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. What did He mean by this? Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. First of all, the name Christ, a lot of times we put Jesus Christ as like a first name and a last name. Well, most of the time it should probably read Jesus the Christ or Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the one from God. Jesus the Lord. That would be more how this name, that's what his name, the Christ, means. But what it literally is saying here, and what he's saying whenever you go back, is that many will come in my name saying, I am a Christian. Now that makes it a little more confusing, doesn't it? Because we hear that pretty regular, and we often are concerned because here they are calling themselves a Christian. And that's what he's warning us about. And it says that they will come saying that they're Christians and will deceive many. And that's what I want to look at this morning. That's why we started here in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Jesus gave us a warning here to beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. This should eliminate a huge percentage of people who come and say they're Christians to us today. But things have become so confused and so confusing that this is not even really a test anymore. Today, wolves can come to us looking, acting, and talking straight up wolves, but say they're a Christian, and we give them the benefit of the doubt. It's a little like the little cartoon of the Little Red Riding Hood. And there's this picture of this huge wolf, and as soon as you look at the cartoon, everyone can see it's a wolf. I mean, she's got a little grandma hat on and a grandma gown, but there's a wolf there. And everyone can see it very plainly. But somehow this little girl, whether pretending or whatever, seems to be deceived that this is her grandmother. But it should be very plain that here's a wolf dressed up like grandmother. Today, Christians basically accept anyone that comes along and says that they're a Christian, whether there's any resemblance to being a Christian or not. Jesus said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing, or wolves coming, dressing, and acting, and talking like a Christian. And you know, there's not very many people in the world today that come among us acting and dressing and looking like a Christian. And yet, that should be about the only question we would have about the rest of where the rest of the world stands. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? If someone comes to us and just says, I'm a Christian, but there's no evidence of that on the outside, they're not hungering after the Word of God, they're not changing their appearance, trying to conform themselves to the Word of God, they're not being in obedience to Christ and his teachings. The Bible teaches us that they're not even giving the appearance of being a Christian. They're a wolf, dressed like a wolf, acting like a wolf, talking like a wolf, eating the same things a wolf eats. And yet, they say, oh, I'm a sheep, by the way. And so we're supposed to accept them. And when we say, you're not a sheep, you're a wolf, they say, you're judging me. Who gave you the authority to judge me? And so we back up and we say, oh, well, they're Christians then. Because they're here again, instead of opening themselves up to say, you judge and see if I'm a Christian. They tell you they're a Christian. And so we just meekly accept them at their word instead of examining them through the word of God. He said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of people who have all the things down that they appear to be like Christians from every appearance. There's some of them that are not even going to be true. He's trying to warn us about and teach. The Bible never tells us to just accept someone at their word that they're a Christian. Even Paul had changed dramatically, and he went into the church. The church still had their eyebrows raised about Paul. Isn't this the one that persecuted us? They didn't just accept someone because, oh, I'm a Christian now. But Jesus tells us to, in these verses here, you shall know them by their fruit. Even those who come looking and acting and talking and dressing like a Christian, if they're not producing the fruit of a Christian, we can even tell by the way they speak, by the things they love, by the things they're going after, whether they're Christians. And by their fruit, you will know them. And we are to distinguish between the fruit that they're bearing and the things that they're saying. Anything other than that is an antichrist. We're either for Christ or we are against him. And that's what I want to look at this morning. We are generally people who are trying to find the church from trial and error, or from unlearning, sometimes we call it. And our goal and our purpose is to try to establish a church made up of people who are following Jesus, who are true disciples of Christ, who are not only people who are acting and looking and talking and trying to be a Christian, but who are Christians. But we're in a world today that almost everyone says they're a Christian, like Jesus warned us about. Many will come in his name saying, I am Christ. And so we're examining all these different things, and yet we see some discrepancies, and we've learned along the way. But we're having to discern and try to figure out on the way. And that makes it much more difficult. And our goal and our purpose is to make the path plain and straighter and clearer for those who would come behind us, so that those that are seeking don't have to be led astray and don't have to make the same mistakes that many others have. A false Christian is like an arrow in the road pointing the wrong way. I don't know, I'm sure you've all been into cities where maybe it's a little hard to find your way around, and it has arrows. You come into a city and it says this street is this way or this thing is this way, and you follow the arrows. And usually can, even then it's sometimes difficult to find what we're looking for, but we trust that the arrows are pointing the right way. Can you imagine trying to find directions in a new place or in a new city, and there's many different arrows there, and maybe the most official looking arrow in the place is pointing the opposite direction of where you're wanting to go? That's what has happened with Christianity today. Today, people have tried to separate Christ from his teachings, and that cannot be done. And what we want to try to establish here and try to convince us of is that Christ cannot be separated from his teachings. If someone is saying all about Christ but not accepting all of his teachings, they're an arrow pointing you the wrong direction. And many of us have taken paths down the wrong direction because they appeared right, but the arrow was pointing in the wrong way. And so we followed this path or that path until we got to the place, well, this isn't right, and we have to backtrack and go and search again. God has given us his word, and there are faithful people to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. But there's many arrows. Let's turn to First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Just to give a little bit of encouragement from the Word of God. Verse 21, Paul here, let's begin in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Here he gives some instructions. He gives a little capsule of the gospel, the teachings of Jesus. And then verse 21, he says, prove all things. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We see the foundation here of trying to see our responsibility in not just accepting everything at face value, not just accepting everything the world throws at us because they say they're Christians, but to prove all things and try the spirits. We are learning that as we follow the Lord, that there are some things that stand out and show us, and we've come to accept that our purpose, our goal as a church, is to stand on the Word of God and it alone. Like I've said before, I've spent about 7 years after I was born again, after I'd surrendered my will and my life to follow Jesus, I spent about 7 years in the evangelical church circles, seemingly fighting against everything that they stood for, except for a few basic tenets that were very, don't really want to call them generic, they're very important and they're very true tenets, but yet almost anyone can say them and it doesn't change their life at all. And seeing that there was something terribly wrong here, then I spent another 7 years after that with a group of people who had extra things that the Bible doesn't teach, trying to be so close to the Bible and so afraid of departing from the Bible, they began to add extra rules to it. And pretty soon those rules become higher than the Word of God itself. And so after we've left those groups, our purpose is to walk as closely to the Word of God without taking away from what it says or adding to what it says. Because I'm coming to understand and to believe that anything other than that is Antichrist. Now there's people maybe in either one of those groups that are honestly trying to follow and honestly trying to walk, but the Bible says to come out from among them, her, my people. Talking about this Babylonian harlot, and I believe that's what the Antichrist will be. I was brought up and taught that the Antichrist was some beast that hated Jesus. I mean, that was basically, they're going to hate Christians. And he's going to be a powerful ruler, and he's going to build a temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to sit down in it and start killing Christians. That's a pretty rough paraphrase, but basically that was my idea of what an Antichrist was. But the more I study the scriptures, the more I see that the Antichrist is not someone that's anti-Christ like we would, you know, verbally or physically, but it's against Christ and it's against his principles. It's against his teaching. It's against him. Because, again, you cannot separate Christ from the Word of God. He is the Word of God. The Antichrist is like a woman all painted up and all fluffed up going out into the world. Looks very attractive. Looks very enticing, very seemingly like a beautiful thing. And it sounds good to the ears, and it's pleasant to the eyes. And yet, inside there's a snare. And that's what we see mostly today. Many, especially during the Anabaptist times, there were people coming out of the Catholic Church and they would see the wrongs that were being done there. And the evangelical church came along and they were mixing things up. There was many people that were involved in that weren't willing to come out and take up the cross and follow the Lord. But they wanted just to reform the things that were going on. And so they came out speaking many pleasant things, saying a lot of right things in the Bible. And they confused and deceived a lot of people. It seems most difficult enough to take up our cross and follow Jesus today, and yet there's deception on every hand, and it just gets weary. But I think the clearer that we can see that this is not just a different religion, but this all has to do with the spirit of the Antichrist that is coming. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, says that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times, deceitful times, and I believe that we're living in them with all the different people, not even Christians in sheep's, or not even wolves in sheep's clothing, but wolves, straight up wolves, calling themselves sheep. And people have lost any discernment at all and are afraid to even call a wolf anymore. Today, we've related before that about the only crime today is to tell someone what they're doing is wrong. Last night, there was a man, we had the signs on the street last night, and one of them that we had was man is the head of woman. Very simple statement. And a man came up and wrote, they came up arguing, just swearing and cursing and saying they were Christians. The man, he said, I'm going to write something on your sign. And so he just started writing, and he wrote a little whole paragraph on the blank place on the sign. And then the last phrase said something like, believe and trust everyone except he who holds this edict. In other words, everyone's right. Believe everyone except this man saying this verse here. That was his message. And that is the attitude and the spirit today. And that spirit is the spirit of Antichrist. There's no discernment. There's no proving. There's no trying. There's no examining fruit. Those are all evil as far as the world's concerned. The Bible says that teaches about the simple. They pass on and they're destroyed. They just accept things as they are and walk on and fall into a trap or a snare. And that's what Jesus is trying to warn us from. You know, the more familiar or the more we have a question about people who profess to be Christians and who aren't following Jesus, the more we begin to accept them, the more we begin to say, well, wow, they could be a Christian without carrying a cross. They could be a Christian without obeying. And they're pretty good people. You know what that does? That begins to make us think, well, if they don't have to do that, why should I have to? And it's another snare. And it's another danger. And so I think we should be very clear that the worldly systems are antichrist. And there are people we do recognize that are seeking a portion of truth that would maybe with some help come out of them. But until they come out of them, we need to be careful. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And until a person is willing to forsake the world system, the ungodly antichrist teachings that try to mix Christ with the world, which is more dangerous, it's the wolf in sheep's clothing, than any of those things, they're dangerous to us. In really blessed by how it just expounds on some of the words, expands some of the words to give us a little clearer meaning of them. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove, test the spirits, to discover whether they proceed from God. For many false prophets have gone forth into the world. By this you may know, and it says in parentheses, perceive and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ the Messiah actually has come, has become man, and has come in the flesh is of God, and has God for its source. And every spirit which doth not acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and here's where I want, then it expands, but would disannul, destroy, sever, disunite him, is not of God. Does not proceed from him. This non-confession in the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it was come and now is already in the world. What I want to look at is verse 3 here. Jesus said that many in that day will say, Lord, Lord. They will profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. A little like this, whenever we read this morning, when Jesus said, many will come in my name. Well, our first thought is, well, they'll come saying they're Jesus. And that's easily discernible. They're not Jesus. They're lying. Well, some people have taken that if they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with their mouth, that he came in the flesh, well, they'll be saved. But Jesus himself said, many will say, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity or workers of lawlessness. What's happening here is people have disunited or severed him from who he is, from his teachings. So people coming, saying that he is Lord, saying that Jesus came in the flesh, but denying the teachings that he taught, they're not of God, but they are of the spirit of the Antichrist. When we try to disunite Christ from his teachings, we don't have Christ anymore. We lose him. He's gone. When we try to sever some teachings from him that we don't like or our flesh doesn't like, we don't have him anymore. And anyone who does that and puts that into practice is none other than a deceiver and an antichrist. That's what the Bible calls them. That's what the Bible labels them as. And we need to look upon them in that way to guard ourselves from being deceived by them. Someone today, many of the claims today is, and the arguments today are, well, a Christian should be supportive of the government. A Christian should be willing to send his sons to war. The Christian should be patriotic and be ready to go die for the country. Well, that sounds very noble. But Jesus ordained and gave those powers to the government. We should be respectful of it. But a Christian, according to Jesus' teaching, is to love his enemy, to do good to them that hate them. We think of this sometimes. Well, we'll just break it down and make it pretty clear. None of us would commit murder, I trust. None of us would want to kill anyone. Many people professing, I've talked to many people professing to be Christians, and they would argue for a while. There's one man in particular I know that he argued about going to war. And then a few days later, I talked to him again, and he said, you know, if I went to war and I killed someone, I don't think I could live with myself. I just actually can see that it would be wrong to do that. So most of us would have that concept that we wouldn't want to kill anyone. But yet, the Antichrist system of the worldly church would say, well, if the government tells us to kill them, or if the government would ask for our sons to go kill someone, it's our patriotic duty to do that. And so we would offer our sons, or now our daughters, basically, to go to war, to take up a gun and kill someone because the government asked us to. That's the reasoning. Well, what if, and just to put that into perspective just a little bit, what if guns wasn't enough to win the war, but the government needed secret spies or something, and so they asked for our daughters to go become prostitutes to gather information? How many of the Protestants would send their daughters off like that? Because the government asked them to. They'll give their sons to go kill. Will they give their daughters to go commit fornication for their government? Do you understand that? Do you see what's the difference? There is none. It's a perversion. So someone, because we understand as being Christians, Christians shouldn't kill people. Christians shouldn't commit fornication. Christians shouldn't send their children to kill people. And Christians should keep their daughters pure. but many of the reasonings that are given to us that we should compromise because we're just doing this for patriotic duty or different things like that. That's a compromise. That's part of the Antichrist system. This world is going to be destroyed, and all there is that's in it. Christ didn't come to fix this up and make it a better place. He came to call men out of it. He came to establish a new kingdom that's higher than the kingdom of this world. And all of our reasoning will fall by the wayside. And when we began to look at and think that people can be Christians and still deny the teachings of Jesus, that puts us on ground of deception. It starts us towards an arrow that is pointing the wrong way. Because, well, they're Christian, and they're pointing this arrow this way. A false Christ is like an arrow on the road pointing the wrong way. Second John, verse 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. God has laid down the church. Ephesians talks about building on the foundation of Christ and the prophets. Jude talks about keeping and contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The faith. We've had to come out of many different confusing things looking for somebody standing for the faith. We've had to come about it backwards instead of looking and say, well, there's the church. They're despised. They're rejected. But they're following Jesus. And instead of being able to be called out by that group, we've had to search for it and look for it and find one here and find one there and find fellowship here and find fellowship there of people who are trying to find their way with all the arrows pointing in the wrong way. But that's not God's purpose from the very beginning. The church should be the salt of the earth, a light on a hill, drawing people to it. And yet we find ourselves in a time, a perilous time, where there's just not very much of that going on, other than an individual here, an individual there. And our goal is to strive to be that. Verse 7 in 2 John says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. We can acknowledge that. Anyone that would say that would be a deceiver and an antichrist. Yet many say that, and yet they're still not following what Christ teaches. Let's read verse 9. It says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. doctrine of Christ. Whosoever transgresses or disobeys, whosoever disobeys or does not follow and does not stay in the teachings of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ. You look this word up, it's didache, the teachings. There's a book of one of the early Christian writings, it's called the Didache. And it's just the teachings of the 12, the teachings of the apostles. It's the same word that is used for doctrine here. The doctrine or the teachings of Christ. If we abide in those, we have both the Father and the Son. Verse 10 says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, or they come unto you and don't bring these teachings, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. You cannot sever Christ from his teaching, or you don't have Christ anymore. It's a false Christ. It's an antichrist. It's a deceitful arrow pointing us in the wrong direction. And we are given some strict warnings here that if anyone comes unto us saying that they're of Christ and they're pointing us in the wrong directions from his teaching, we're to have nothing to do with them. We're not to bid them Godspeed. We're not to say, God bless you on your way. We're not going to say, keep on following Jesus. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Verse 11 says. We have to be cautious, wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. To follow the suffering Savior is not popular in the world. And don't be deceived by anyone who's not following a suffering Savior. They're antichrist. They're pointing you the wrong direction. And if they try to disunite Christ or sever him from his teachings, they're a liar. John, 1 John chapter 2 says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John, the assurance chapter, makes it very clear that we either love God and we obey him and we're keeping his commandments and doing his will, or we're not of God. First John chapter 2. Verse 19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. It's hard to say that whenever there's hardly an us that we've found today. But this is the way it was. And God, the way God expects the church to be. Us are those who are following Jesus, following a suffering Savior, accepting his word. And anyone that doesn't follow it is not of us. And it's just that simple. Everything's labeled Christian today. And most people are afraid to, because they might offend someone, to say not call him a brother, or not to call him a Christian. But the Bible speaks a whole different way about that than what we think. It tells us to try all things and prove all things. And if someone's not walking in the light as he is in the light, they're not of God. There's room, like I said, for those who are seeking, that we can make allowance for them, but as a whole, there are very few and they're very far between. And if someone's going to question and say, well, I need to examine your life a little while or see if you're truly following the Lord before I just accept you as being a Christian. If I'm offended at that, it's probably because I've got something to hide. A Christian walks in openness and is willing to allow someone else to examine him, to judge him, if you will, to see. In fact, a Christian invites that. If I'm doing something wrong, show me, because I want to do what's right. May the Lord add His word, or add His blessings to His word. May we be careful. May be that we would see the arrows that God's word has laid out and not be deceived by the Antichrist that are surrounding us.